You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
So this is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? That's right. I jumped right into the intro. I am Dave. Online, I've got Rose.
Hey, guys.
And I got Scott.
Buenos noches.
Buenos noches. So we are we're doing it again. We're doing our podcast thing, which we haven't done in like forever. And unfortunately, the topic we're jumping back into the mix with is a kind of a memorial of a very iconic actor, Burt Reynolds. And normally I would, with our icon series, I would go through and read the credits of the actor that we're talking about. But that would take way, way too long. So yeah. I'm going to skip that part.
Yeah.
He's done a shitload of movies. Just looking at his 70s, 80s, and 90s credits, it would take just a long time just to read through them, and it would bore you, the listener. So rather instead, I want to share a quick little thing that I discovered today. And I was sitting on the can, so I was taking a dump, as you do.
Oh, my God.
And I was looking at my phone today, knowing that we're going to be talking about... Yeah, I did, didn't I? Whoa. It's a great way to start the show, isn't it?
How much fearing have you been doing?
You mean I'm not allowed to talk about dumping at the beginning of the show?
I can't. No. It's a little early.
I can't talk about pooping.
Poop. Everybody poops. So
everybody poops.
I guess that's okay.
All right. So can I finish my story here? Come on.
Please.
All right. So I'm on the commode today. I'm looking at my phone because I know we're going to be talking about Mr. Burt Reynolds, and I thought it'd be fun to have some sort of like. Understand some Burt Reynolds trivia. So I was looking at IMDb trivia, and it always amazes me to think about how different things would have happened, you know, if, you know, different casting went a certain way. What I didn't know was Burt Reynolds actually turned down the role of Han Solo.
What?
Wow. He was actually offered the role for A New Hope. As Han Solo.
Let's see, and 1977.
And I started to think about that, and I was like, he would have been a fucking awesome Han Solo.
He actually might have, he really would have pulled it off.
Yeah, because he had the comedic chops.
And he had that look in his eye, that cocky grin.
Imagine the scene in Empire when she goes, "I love you," and he goes, "I know."
I know.
Imagine Bert doing that.
And he could totally pull that off. That one eyebrow goes up. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see it.
Wow. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I may have heard that once before, but I totally forgot about it. That's yeah, you know, if there was one other person in the world other than Harrison Ford that could pull it off, it's Burt Reynolds.
I really think that it would have been something. And, you know, you get so stuck in your brain once you've seen, you know, an icon like Harrison Ford do Han Solo, and you kind of get, you know, I can't imagine someone else doing it. But then realizing, you know, as we're talking about this topic, you know, I was thinking through just what, you know, the the delivery that Burt Reynolds has and the presence that he has on screen, and like I said, the comedic elements, he would pull that off.
I think he could.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to, like you said, it's hard to imagine another Han Solo, but right. at the same time, if you've seen the most recent version of, or most recent Star Wars release, which was Solo, I thought the character that played Han Solo, I can't remember his name right now, of course, but the character, he really emulated Harrison Ford's version of it, and I can see Burt Reynolds in that same role. I really could. I could see him doing it. He could pull it off. His attitude, his cockiness, the look in his on his face, and his as Bandit, like, he could bring Bandit to space, basically.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah.
So I kind of started on a weird, take of that story, being, where I was when I discovered that. But once I got that, I was like, my God, that's amazing. So as we do with these things, we normally go through like our favorite film of the icon. Rose, you also mentioned doing like a top three. So do you have like a top three Burt Reynolds movies picked?
I do.
You do? Scott, do you?
You know,
because I didn't do a top three.
I have several that I can talk about. I don't know if I'm going to call them a top three. They all kind of happen within the same era, which was late 70s, early 80s. I think that's the most memorable part of Burt for me. Although there were several movies later on in his career that he did a great job of playing a role. Okay. Like, I doubt either one of you is going to bring up Boogie Nights, right?
That was another piece of trivia that I read about.
Yeah. So he was in Boogie Nights with Mark Wahlberg. Mm-hmm. And Chrissy and I had just recently watched that because it was like, we'd never seen it. And we'd heard things about it. And she's a huge Mark Wahlberg fan. And we're like, well, we're really bored on a Saturday afternoon and we just don't have anything going this weekend, so we're just going to watch this movie. So we watched Boogie Nights, and Burt Reynolds was a major role in it. And he was still really good. He did a good job acting, whatever. But you go back to his earlier career, and that's really when I know and I remember him from. And that's what I think most people do. The Bandit years. So anyway, so I don't know if I really have a top three, which was your original question. Pardon me. Tangent alert.
Oh, we got to totally do a audio clip of that. Tangent alert. Yeah. Tangent alert.
Yeah, and we need to have like the a siren in the background. Yeah. Tangent alert. So as far as the
top you're three, editing this week, so get on that.
Okay. Yeah.
I have to
turn around tomorrow. That's going to be a different story. Anyway. But,
Burt didn't like doing that movie, though.
Boogie Nights?
Yeah.
Really?
He wasn't, based on the IMDb trivia, he said he wasn't really that excited about doing the role. And in fact, I guess his agent that got him involved in it, he actually parted ways with him after signing on that. So it was, I guess, not an experience that Burt really enjoyed, but I thought he did great in the movie. So it's very interesting that somebody can still bring their game and be involved, but not be excited about it.
Yeah, he did a good. I thought he played it well. So we just recently watched it. So that's good. That's helpful too.
Yeah. So Rose, go ahead and why don't you pick on one of your three? Let's see where this goes.
Okay. So, I, as you know, we're raising children in the 80s and we watched a lot of cartoons, much to my,
yeah,
dismay, I suppose. But, you know, later on, you know, you realize, hey, maybe I am still a cartoon head after all. One of the movies that we like to watch often, only because of the subject matter, and this was a new type of animation. I mean, Disney pretty much had a monopoly on animated movies, but then there was this guy named Don Bluth that was slowly nipping at their heels, going, hey, I know how to do stuff. And he was popular, specifically for, you know, All Dogs Go to Heaven, in which Burt Reynolds played Charlie B. Barkin. And
that was the main character? Or no?
I haven't seen that
in a long time.
Yeah, he was the main character. And there was a lot of other, you know, his friend Dom DeLuise played Itchyford. Mm-hmm. And then Melba Moore was in it, and Daryl Gilley and Candy Devine. Charles Nelson Reilly played Killer. Mm-hmm. You know, so there was just, you know, a lot of really good acting, voice acting. Specifically, to the point to where you're kind of going, is this a kid's movie? You're always asking yourself, kid's movie? Because it was really kind of, it was like adult themed, you know, no kid wants to be an orphan, no kid wants to be homeless, you know, and, you know, you see dogs and you're thinking, oh, dogs are nice and they're friendly, and sometimes they weren't, you know, so, I don't know. It could have went either way. I know my kids liked watching it mainly because of the fun stuff that went on, but when it got a little too heavy, you know, they just sat just a little bit closer, you know, because there was so many poignant moments that, you know, just kind of brought reality right in your face.
Well, I do believe that all dogs go to heaven, just FYI.
Yeah, me too.
They totally do.
Yeah. But Charlie B. Barkin was a bit of a, he was kind of a con artist. He could be a con artist as a dog. And he had a lot of connections, and he knew people, and he was always on the scam and things like that. But, you know, he found this little gal and wanted to take care of her, and, you know, she wanted to take care of him, but he knew he really wasn't a good fit for her because she was innocent and young and impressionable. So one of the lines, which I still continue to use to this day, and nobody ever gets, and I don't know why. he talks about, you know, he's trying to play himself up as being a humanitarian, oxymoron, kind of as a dog. But, you know, oh, I do nice things for people all the time. You know, it's like, yeah, these people that I deal with, they're broker than the Ten Commandments. That's just a joke, you know, but, you know, it's still a funny line. And when you think about it, it's just like broker than the Ten Commandments. That's awesome. You know, so to have an actor of his ability, you know, be able to bring to life this character that's a dog that's literally like, you know, on the street. He's probably had a good home at some point. Maybe I can't remember the whole story. It's been such a long time since I've seen it.
Well, it was released in 1989. So,
yeah. So to be able to have that emotion, you know, and to, you know, make himself a lovable character, he's the anti-hero, so to speak. You know, that takes acting ability alone, just in itself. You know, it's easier to do it, I suppose, as your, you know, live action, you know, when you're in a movie, you know. But to be able to pull it off when you're an animated character, I think it's even harder. You know, because you have to realize, you know, if you're dealing with kids, a lot of kids that were my kids didn't know who Burt Reynolds was. You know, they just knew that he made a funny dog. Yeah. So that's kind of cool. I always really liked his character in that movie.
Yeah, I would think that being a voice acting, or, you know, having talent at doing voice acting, you know, with that kind of caliber is tougher. Because, I mean, an actor like Burt Reynolds, you know, you have certain physical characteristics that you kind of rely on. You know, obviously, you know, he was the friggin' bandit, you know, and, you know, he was a show off, as, you know, he admitted in that movie, you know, and he had a whole, you know, a whole bunch of credits where he, that was his role, was showing off. And suddenly he wasn't, you know, there physically to be able to show off, and he had to rely on his voice to do that. That says something. That says something about the caliber of his acting skills.
Yeah.
So credit to him for that.
Absolutely.
So you got anything on All Dogs Go to Heaven, Scott? Other than they do?
You know, nothing relating to Burt Reynolds and the movie. I just remember being part of a church group. This was a Bible study type setting, and our pastor came in to speak, and he said that he believes that all dogs go to heaven. It was a funny little thing that he said. I'm like, all right, even our pastor believes it. That's awesome. So, you know, I don't have anything to input as far as the movie goes. I do love the concept, though. Because come on. You guys know how much I care for dogs.
I totally do.
Can you hear our foster dog in the background right now? She's crying.
No.
Because Chrissy went to bed, and the other one, she's, oh my gosh, she's so pathetic. Hold on. Let me see if I can get this on audio. She's going to stop crying.
I don't hear her.
No, she stopped. As soon as I open the door. She's in there whining. She's a greyhound. They whine. There she goes. I close the door and she starts it again.
Aww.
Anyway, so yes, all dogs go to heaven.
I'm just wondering, how many movies did he do with Dom DeLuise?
A lot.
Yeah.
They were like best friends. They were like good buddies.
Yeah.
I met Dom DeLuise. That's one of my what do you call it? Brushes with fame or whatever.
Claim to fame?
Yeah. No, not claim to fame. Brushes with fame.
Brushes. I like the way brushes with frame.
Yeah. Frame?
Frame. That's what you said.
Yeah, I know. Don't mind.
We're going back to painting. I mean, sorry. Hold on. Didn't mean to say that. All right.
Brushes with Bob Ross. Hey. That actually is... That's a pun. That's funny. Anyway, no, I was like 19 or 20, and I was doing valet parking near the Anaheim Stadium out in California, and there was some kind of a book tour going on, and he was writing his cooking books.
Oh, nice.
And he was staying at the whatever hotel, I can't remember, it was like Hyatt or something like that. And he was there, and I'm like, hey, I'm a huge fan. You're awesome. Thanks for all your comedy. And he was very cool and very friendly and very happy and kind of like the character he is, you know? Like, just bubbly and kind of silly, and so he was cool.
He went, dun-dun-dun, I'm Captain Chaos.
No, Captain Chaos. Captain Chaos did not show up.
Okay.
Although that would have been freaking hysterical if it did, because it was like it wasn't too far after that. Cannonball Run was
80
something, early 80s, right? Anyway,
somewhere in there, 80 something.
Okay, are we gonna talk about Dom DeLuise or Burt Reynolds?
What you started? I asked a simple question, and you just went down that road.
Yeah.
Tangent alert! Tangent alert!
Tangent.
All right. So okay. Rose picked All Dogs Go to Heaven. Scott, you got a first pick.
I do.
Let's hear it.
I'm gonna go Hooper.
Hooper's on my list. Outstanding.
Nice. I loved Hooper.
Hooper was awesome.
Jan Michael Vincent, Sally Field, another Sally Field. You know, those when they were kind of. Mm-hmm. They had their fling going on before he ever got involved with Lonnie Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
So I just loved the concept of Hooper. You know, it was the whole, you know, stuntman thing. And I was really into movies at the time. So stunts were kind of cool. And then the way the whole movie came about. And then you had a lot of great characters in that movie, too. Like Terry Bradshaw was in that one, and Brian Keith? Is that it?
Possibly.
He was the dad from Family Affair.
Yeah, Brian Keith.
But okay, I think he was like you know, a stuntman from before that was kind of like
his mentor.
Mentor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just I remember watching that movie on video, on VHS several times over, and always thought it was a great movie. I just loved Hooper. It was fun.
I remember there was like two scenes that I remember from that movie. One was where he's backing up his truck, driving real fast just so he can get a beer. You know, because someone was on the other side, so he like was driving. In reverse, as fast as they were, like down the highway.
Yeah, which is impossible because the torque ratio does not work that way in reverse.
Well, don't ruin the movie. Come on. And then there was another one where he puts a helmet on to get change out of a jukebox.
Yes. Yes, he does. Because that's the fight scene during Terry Bradshaw.
That's right.
Terry Bradshaw is not who he is and that he plays some other character, but he's got a whole football team with him.
Yeah.
And they get in this full on bar fight.
I remember the line now. He hits him and he goes, okay, I think we're in trouble. And, then all of a sudden Terry Bradshaw just smiles. And then he takes the helmet and it hits him in the face. And then he smiles and pulls a tooth out.
Yeah, his front tooth. Okay, he pulls his front tooth out and he's just
I know we're in trouble now.
Yeah.
So.
But then they all end up back at
his place watching movies.
Watching old stunt videos or stunt reels from.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with Brian Keith and all that stuff, they're all drunk and stuff. It's fun stuff. It's good. Now, okay, I'm going to jump ahead. Never mind. I won't do that. Go with yours, Dave. What do you think? What's your next? What's your one of your top three?
Well, let's go Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Nice. That's a good one, dude.
Yep.
this is a strange movie. Strange movie.
Completely strange, but Bert plays the sheriff, and I guess they have a town where they have a infamous or famous whorehouse that's run by Dolly Parton's character.
Let's call it an agreement between the local police department and a business.
Right,
it's an agreement. So go on.
And the funny thing is, it's everybody in the state is all good with this. Mm-hmm. And then this, Dom DeLuise, once again, another Dom DeLuise character, is in this movie. And he's some sort of televangelist, and his whole mission is to shut down the whorehouse. Mm-hmm. And it's just hilarity ensues because you have Bert, who's this, very difficult, local sheriff, because he's kind of set in his ways and he wants to run the town the way he runs his town. And, everything's got to go, to plan. And then all of a sudden, you know, this Dom DeLuise character shows up and he's, you know, raising up a whole bunch of ruckus. And it just hilarity ensues. And then, you know, then you also have this mix of every so often they break into song. So it's totally a different vehicle for Burt Reynolds than I'd ever seen before, but it was fun. It was well done, and I really enjoyed it. And then Jim Nabors, the great Jim Nabors, is in there as his deputy, so that's even more fun. Mm-hmm. So Rose, did the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, did that do anything for you?
You know, I didn't see that, I don't think, when it first still looking for it in his IMDb.
That was during your parent years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably
I probably 1982. Yeah. I don't think, no, I didn't watch that. I did, however, see a local.
Now that is a family movie.
Play version of it.
My God.
Here in Washington, the local theater, some, you know, amateur actors and actresses.
Well, that'd be fun.
That was all right. See, and then I got to see it in its entirety, and I thought, oh, okay. This wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. So, but I never had any desire to revisit it, I guess. So, even though I do like, you know, all of those people. You know, so maybe I'll take an opportunity and just kind of check it out someday.
Yeah, I don't know if that, like, is easily available, like, on, you know, doing, like, an on-demand search or something. It'd be interesting to find out.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I haven't seen that one in years.
Apparently you can watch it on Amazon.
On what? Amazon?
Yeah, it says watch on Amazon.
On Prime or? Or do you have to rent it? And how much would you pay?
Ooh, yeah. Back to that.
Who's that icon? And how much would you pay?
Oh, well, they've got quite a few of his movies.
I would say Best Little Whorehouse is a good 99-cent movie.
Yeah.
I probably have trouble with going $2.
Yeah, but it's Amazon we're talking.
Well, look, so. I still haven't seen Ready Player One yet, so I gotta put out money for that first.
Yeah. I don't want to get on a tangent on that one. Okay.
We won't then.
Yeah. Dave. Okay. Shh. Zip book it. Is better.
Zip book is better. Oh yeah, I know that. Book is better. Come on.
Read the book. Don't watch the movie. Okay. Anyway, did I say that loud?
When has a movie ever been better than the book or as good as? Tangent alert.
I don't know. There could probably be an argument for the Fellowship of the Ring movies. I don't know.
Let's go down that wormhole, please.
Okay. All right.
Pissed off that they made Glorinfandel a woman.
Tangent.
So we're back to Rose.
Who's okay. Rose? Wait, what? Rose?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pick a Burt Reynolds movie.
You have another movie that you want to talk about? You said you had
sure.
Three.
I had three.
And we haven't covered?
We've only covered the one.
Okay. All right. Let's hear it.
So,
she's going obvious.
Come on, there's an elephant in the room.
There's two.
There's two elephants in the room.
Two?
Oh my God. You can't think of two iconic Burt Reynolds movies?
Well, I can, but.
Can I?
Okay, just. Rose, go on.
Yes. Thank you.
I thought we were talking about painting.
Bob Ross.
Go ahead, Rose.
So, Burt Reynolds did this movie, and I only saw it the one time, mainly because I didn't necessarily like the title, Rent-A-Cop, but I liked how he started it with.
Nice.
Liza Minnelli as Della Roberts. James Remar was in it. Richard Masser, Dionne Warwick, Bernie Casey, Robbie Benson.
So Robbie just Benson. Goes on and on. Man, what happened Robbie to him?
Anyway. You know, I don't know. That's a whole nother kettle of fish.
Okay, so go
basically
on.
The synopsis is when a call girl, Della, gets caught in the middle of a drug bust at a hotel where she was meeting a trick. Oh, my God. She's held hostage by a robber that busted in on the drug agents and the drug dealers. She gets rescued by a vice cop, et cetera, played by Burt Reynolds, who is accused of staging the aborted bust. Ball player turned drug dealer Roger is in tight with corrupt vice cops and their superiors. Fireworks start popping. So it was a movie for a night where you kind of go, you know, I think I've seen everything on the shelves here at Blockbuster. What could I possibly rent that I haven't seen yet? Oh, this looks good. So
you grabbed my attention with Robbie Benson, and you said Liza Minnelli and Bert, of course. Did you happen to mention Dionne Warwick in there?
I did.
Okay.
She played Beth.
Wow. That's amazing. Bernie Casey?
Bernie Casey. One.
Wow.
Yeah. Just quite a few people. Lots of...
That's a good lineup right there.
It is a good lineup. Half of these people I've never heard of, but I'm sure I've seen them in things.
I can't see Bert and Liza as love interests, though.
You know, that was a tough one, I have to admit. She's just a little too neurotic for me. But I'm sure
she's very jittery and high energy and
Okay. He was her balance because that's just kind of who he was. He never played, I don't think, anybody that wasn't smooth, laid back, cool, calm, collected. That's just who he was. A lot of times I don't think he was recognized as a true actor with bunny rabbit ears, parentheses, whatever you want to call them, quotes.
Air quotes.
Because people accused him of just playing himself all the time. And I'm like, well, so? He gets the point across, doesn't he? You know, he was typecast in a lot of things.
Got to look at a lot of actors and actresses that are that way, though.
Oh, like, they are.
Yeah, I mean, Jim Carrey, he's just playing himself. Will Ferrell, he's just playing himself. I mean,
you could say that about most actors.
A lot.
But I think later on, as he got older and more mature, I think he kind of chose, you know, his roles better. You know, because when you're first starting out, somebody throws you an acting job, you're like, sure, I'll take it, kind of a thing. You know, unless you're Natalie Portman or somebody, but, you know, you have the lust for acting and you want to be in front of that camera and you want to be around a lot of other people. And, you know, because you're their friend, you can have this job and this movie and I'll get you a job in my movie. And, you know, that's just kind of how it is. You know, there's quite a few ensemble troops out there to this day. I mean, Adam Sandler runs the gambit on all of his friends that he puts in his movies. That doesn't make it good, but he'll still do it, you know, because, you know, they're actors that need work, I guess. I don't know. I would love to see some of his movies without half of the people in it that he puts in there. Just me. Sorry. Don't send hate mail to me. You people
hate
know
mail.
What I'm talking about. Tangent. So,
hate mail alert.
Rent-A-Cop, I don't know if I could put a monetary value on that because it's been a while since I've seen it. If it was like 99 cents, maybe I'd pick it up in the thrift store.
Yeah, I get nothing on Rent-A-Cop. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
I remember the movie being out there, but I can't remember anything from it myself.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I just remember seeing it, and I didn't want to go the obvious ones because that's what everybody's remembering. Everybody's remembering, you know, Smokey and the Bandit, Cannonball Run, Stroker Ace, and movies where he was like the hot, fast guy that, you know, got all the chicks and drove the fast cars and outwitted the law, things like that, you know.
Yeah, but in Bessel Whorehouse, he was the law.
Yeah, he was the law, yeah. Ironically.
Yep.
How bizarre. But still, he had a unique take on that as well.
Yeah, he was Smokey.
Did you ever see Norm MacDonald play Burt Reynolds on Saturday Night Live?
Yes.
Yes. That was so funny.
That's great. He had him down, I'm telling you.
The whole Jeopardy thing with him. Yep. Yeah, it was beautiful. It's good stuff.
The wit.
Not to disrespect Burt Reynolds by any means, but I think he had a way of... Yeah, it was good stuff.
Well, I mean, this is how iconic this actor is. I mean, earlier today I was thinking about EdTV, where he was like, you know, they had this big sequence where he's like trying to show these young kids, you know, where they were trying to rent a video, and he was trying to introduce them to Smokey and the Bandit. And he's like, get the hell out of my store, you know, you Steven Seagal loving, you know, little kids or whatever. It was, you know, this is Burt Reynolds, you know, and then like later on, you know, Ellen DeGeneres, you know, who's a producer, you know, the thing is like, well, what would Burt do? You know, and it was just as a way to get him to do something. So it's like, how iconic is this, you know, Burt Reynolds and Smokey and the Bandit, you know, that plays well. And when you hear that line, you go, yes, what would Burt do? So.
Yeah, he's, you know, he lived a long, fruitful life. I mean, you're talking 80, what?
Ooh.
Can't do the math. 82 years. 82 years. My grandmother's going to be 94 next April, and like 82 is already on, like, you know, you're already on borrowed time in my opinion. But 82 years, great. And he had a lot of great films in that time. I think most of us recognize the early part of his career, you know, 70s and 80s. So, yeah, it's all good. It's good stuff. Dave, are you ready for me to talk about my next
go ahead.
My next pick.
Do it.
I got to go J.J. McClure. Cannonball Run.
Cannonball Run.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, realistically, Hooper, J.J. McClure, and Sonny. I'm sorry, not Sonny Hooper. That's Sonny Hooper. And Bandit are basically the same character. Basically. But he did such a great job of bringing each character into each movie. And Cannonball Run, I just loved him in this one. And again, his sidekick, you know,
Dom DeLuise,
as Captain Chaos was hysterical. And then his little fling with Farrah Fawcett and who was the doctor? Who was the doctor that was in the ambulance?
Creepy dude. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm working on it.
I know. I'm looking for it too.
Jack Ellum.
Okay. So he was in quite a few things back in the 70s and 80s too. But this, I just love Cannonball Run. It's one of my favorites. In fact, I really need to see if I can go back and revisit that one. Because it's one of the few that I really like to rewatch. Even Hooper, I would rewatch. But Cannonball Run, I'd like to rewatch it again. Because I think there's a lot of, I mean, you've got a huge cast in that whole thing that would make the whole thing just enjoyable. You know, from everybody from Roger Moore to Jackie Chan and Sammy Davis Jr., Burt Reynolds, and the whole thing. This one is just one of the ones that it always jumps out at me as one of my favorite Burt Reynolds movies. JJ.
So what about Cannonball Run, Rose?
Give me a second. You know, I think I probably saw this and might have even saw it in a theater. Because it, you know, such a star-studded cast, how could you miss it? But, Jackie Chan was in this. Interesting. Honestly, I just didn't really... It was probably funny, because I tell you, I definitely haven't seen it since, you know, 1981. But, yeah, I guess it was funny. I mean, I wouldn't have watched it, but I don't think I have that, you know, the memories of, like, I've seen it so many times that I can, like, quote lines from it or anything like that. I think I remember seeing it and thinking, oh, that's cool. And then, you know, the next one came out. It was kind of like, to me, when I first saw it, it reminded me of, it's a mad, 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 mad
world. It's a mad, 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 mad world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how everybody, you know, was involved in.
By the way, it's at the W. The
yeah.
The treasure is at the W, where the palm trees are crossed. That's in the W. That's mad, mad. That's where the treasure is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Spoiler. Wow.
Yeah.
More crickets. Spoiler. I need cricket. I need the cricket sound effect. Really.
You do.
Spoiler.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm sure it was like I said, it was just, you know, very action packed, lots of hot cars and, you know, amazing actors, and just didn't, you know, not a whole lot of memories.
That here. Is such a huge cast. That movie.
Yeah, this is probably the first movie that I remember seeing this, and I'm sorry if it happened before this movie, but during the end credits, you had the blooper reel.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember this, too. This is, like, one of the first times that I remember seeing a blooper reel at the end of a movie also.
And I actually just watched that maybe minutes before we started recording.
The blooper reel?
Yeah. Wow. So you can actually YouTube that.
Really?
Sweet.
Oh, my God. It was so funny because Burt Reynolds kept slapping Dom DeLuise. Because Dom DeLuise was just laughing all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and they were just having a lot of fun just kind of cracking each other up. And I guess Burt's solution to trying to get Dom DeLuise to get his lines right was to slap him.
Oh.
So it's hilarious to watch because you could see that they had so much fun together. You know, just as a cast, you know, and it was awesome to watch. And to me, that's the thing that resonates with this movie is seeing Bert, not so much Bert, but just having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that he's not having fun when he's doing these movies. It's just that, you know, he's not taking himself as seriously. And it's good to see that he wasn't like that in real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was rolling with the punches and having fun with his castmates. So I love that about the guy. And this movie was a lot of fun, like you said, Scott, based on the cast and the interactions. You know, and I guess if I had to, you know, pick like maybe a favorite sequence, you can tell the, you know, when JJ was like getting upset with Dom DeLuise every time he would become Captain Chaos.
Captain Chaos! Yes.
And that was just fun to watch. That was fun to watch that interaction that that relationship he had with Victor. You know, Victor. When he was, you know, just the two of them, and then all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden Victor's, you know, had to have some situation that he had become Captain Chaos, and it was just like, great, here we go again. And you could totally see that and read it on film. And it was a fun interaction with these guys.
Yeah, I got to see if I can find the full movie somewhere, because I got to watch it again. It's been so long. And that one just got such a great cast. Anyway, so Rose never really got into it. Dave loved it. Let's move on to Dave's next pick then.
Well, then I am going to.
If we're doing top threes, yeah.
Yeah, if I'm going to the top then. Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh yeah, well.
Yeah, I had to bring it up. Yeah. You know, that's the thing that I, you know, once I found out that he had passed, you know, I put that together on Instagram and I put that little, you know, rest in peace Bandit. It wasn't rest in peace Burt Reynolds. It was rest in peace Bandit. Because to me, that's him. He's the Bandit. Loved him in this role. And it's so friggin' iconic for, you know, a kid that was born in 1970. And when this movie came out, and believe it or not, I was actually more of, I was in love with the truck driving lifestyle. So I kind of had this thing where I wanted to be more Jerry Reed than I wanted to be Burt Reynolds. But the car was so friggin' awesome. And he was just so iconically cool. Who didn't love the Bandit? Yeah. You know, and it was everything about this movie that Burt brought was just friggin' awesome. And I'll say it out loud that I'm the big fan of the original, but like the subsequent movies, not so much.
They were mediocre.
Yeah.
They're okay. So, I mean, they're basically like, you know, car chase fluff.
Yeah, if he's
however you want to call it, but really, that's really what it was. But
him trying to get beer across the state, you know, across state lines or whatever, is cool. But as soon as you say he's got to get a pregnant elephant, I'm like, no, thank you.
Okay, so I'm gonna jump in here real quick. On what's today? Yesterday morning, Saturday. So he passed on Friday, right?
Was it
this Friday the
7th? Thursday.
Thursday the 6th. Yeah. Okay. So Saturday the 8th, I was I took our oldest dog, our little dachshund. She's like 15 and a half. And when it's funny, when you're young, you count half years, and when you're old, you count half years. But all the years in between, you really don't care about the half part. In fact, you try to avoid it. So anyway, our dog Molly, who's pushing 16, we had to take her into the vet on Saturday, and I went in there, and they have a TV up in the corner. They don't have any audio or anything, but I could just see what they were playing. And they were playing a video of one of these car shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
That where they rebuild a classic car, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were doing this tribute because Burt had just passed. They were doing this thing with I think it's 79 Trans Am Firebird, the black with the gold eagle on the hood, and they're rebuilding it. And I couldn't hear a word they were saying, but they had the closed caption up there. And I'm trying to read it as fast as I can, but, you know, I'm slow, so can't always read it. But Paul Williams actually comes to their shop dressed as Little Enos.
Nice.
Okay. I'm here with my dog who's, you know, we're just waiting to be seen. I'm like entranced on this video, and I can't even hear what they're saying. I'm like, man, I really wish I could hear what's going on, because I really love to hear this interaction, because they even him, Paul Williams, dressed as little Enos, is talking to the guy that whoever's doing the revamp of the Bandit Mobile, whatever you want to call it, the Bandit Firebird. I really would love to hear it, because they look like they're having an interaction where it's like a joke, you know, it's kind of lighthearted and funny, and you know, Big Enos is passed on and Little Enos is here to take care of things. It's just the way that you could see it going on. I'm like, wow, this is really cool. And it's a great tribute that they're showing this episode this weekend after Bert has passed. I know that's why they were doing it, but it was just really cool. I'm going to have to look it up and really like watch the episode of them rebuilding mm-hmm. this old Trans Am. But because I'm going to tell you, and I've told this to many people over the last 5-6 years. If there was a classic car that I would love to have, don't give me a 68 Chevy Camaro. Don't give me a 65 Mustang. Don't give me a 72 Chevelle. Give me a 1978 or 79 Trans Am Firebird that the Bandit drove.
It's actually 77.
77? Okay.
Yep.
Whatever it was that year, that Trans Am, is that Firebird is the dream car that I would have for a classic car. Really. That's it. That would be the one. So, anyway. Wow. I don't know where I was going on that one. Full-on tangent.
Well, it's tough to talk about Smokey and the Bandit without talking about the car.
And the car was special, but...
Yeah.
And for him to be able to be part of that, you know that Bert is tied to that car forever.
Mm-hmm. So. There was another fun element of the movie, and I don't know if it was done before, but it's like he didn't directly talk to the camera, but he just looks up to the camera and smiles.
Yeah, those moments are funny.
Yeah. So that was.
So it was like a fourth wall break?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Because he had just alluded to the police, you know, and like hid out somewhere, and then he like drives the car up slowly to the camera. He's even with the camera, and he just kind of looks up, gives that Burt Reynolds smile, and then drives like the bat out of hell out of there. Yeah. It was like, thank you, Burt. That's exactly what that needed. So, Rose, Smokey the Bandit, was that something on your watching pleasure?
I watched it. I might have seen it a couple times, only because it was a lot of fun. It was not anyone in there that I didn't like. And I always liked Sally Field, always liked Jerry Reed. You know, Paul Williams, meh. But
now, okay, wait. Paul Williams, meh. Now, okay.
I was waiting for reaction there.
Okay, I'm never a huge fan of him, but it's just funny that
he gets that.
He was an icon back then. I don't know why. I still can't figure out, like, why was he popular? How did he ever get into show business or anything? I know he sang a couple of songs that got really good radio play in the 70s, but
mm-hmm.
but I still think it's funny that you say Paul Williams, nah. That's awesome, Rose. I gotta tell you.
Thank you.
That is awesome. Because I don't get it either. But I just love Paul for his representation of that era, for whatever it is.
Yeah.
Ah,
but,
funny.
You know, it's just...
Icon show.
Yes. But One of the things I noticed, and I don't know what the, so it was a great movie. I mean, I enjoyed it. I didn't necessarily care for the second one, but didn't think they needed a second one, but, you know, who am I? One of the things I noticed, and I don't know how much of a budget they had, but there was only 17 people in this movie. Did you notice that?
What?
Yeah. If you look on, right. If you look at, like, on the side where, you know, all the people that were in it starring, I'm sure there was more, like, extras and things like that. And, you know, most movies, like, just, it kind of goes on and on and on and on. And you have all these people, like, in Hollywood that, you know, you've never seen before. But, yeah, there was only 17 people. Hmm. And this, now, I don't know if that was an accurate, but I'm counting. And I just looked, you know, because I, while you guys were talking, I'm like, I'm the Burt Reynolds, Mike Henry, Pat McCormick. And I just keep going, and it's just like, get the Jackie Gleason, and I'm like, hey, wasn't it not going any further? But, yeah. So okay,
Eastbound,
so here's my question.
And down.
Sheriff Buford T. Justice, do you think that in Dukes of Hazzard, when they had, what was the sheriff name there?
Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Well, him, but the other guy that was Boss Hawk. Do you think he was based off of Sheriff Buford T. Justice? Or no?
Possibly.
You'd have to
see
that.
Line.
Something always just kind of made me think. I notice a lot of similarities in their mannerisms. So, I don't know. But it was a good movie. I liked it.
You got me thinking now.
Cool.
I just think the whole concept of Smokey and the Bandit was always interesting because they're just trying to move beer.
Yeah.
And that was something that came up when I was reading the closed caption for that, you know, rebuilding the car show. It actually came up that they were trying to move beer. Like it was like kind of an inside joke that they were, you know, trying to transport beer. It's funny.
So, yeah.
And that was it. It's just a very elaborate beer run.
It really was.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, come on, everybody, pitch in. We're making a beer run. We're going to go get some Busch Light. Actually, it was Coors.
It was Coors.
Yes, it was Coors because Coors was a certain percentage of alcohol and that could not be transported across the Mississippi, Colorado.
Who is Googling what now?
No, wow. I did not Google anything. I've known
you
that for
Googled
years.
That.
I have known that for
you
years.
Did not.
I swear to Bob.
Swear to Bob.
You know, I actually thought, now I'm not saying this to stick up for Scott or anything, but I actually have heard you say that before. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I'm having a deja vu.
I know I have. I've probably mentioned it before that movie
you
was.
Have?
Yeah. I think I mentioned it before because.
You totally Googled that.
No,
come
I
on.
Did. I swear.
Admit it.
I have
admit
not,
it.
I did not Google that.
Come on.
I have never Googled that in my life. I've known that for probably 15, 20 years.
So it was Coors Light.
Yes. No, it was not Coors Light. It was Coors. Coors Light was not. No, Coors Light is not high enough alcohol content. See, it was because of a law that had to do with crossing the Mississippi. Say that after a couple of years.
is that Tully Madure? Madure?
Yeah. Tully. Yeah, it's my friend Tully. So. It was to get it from Colorado to the East Coast. I believe it was Florida. I think it was Florida in the movie. And then they were supposed to make a run up to... At the end of the movie, they said somebody might make a run up to the east, you know, Northeast Coast. But it was to get Coors, a 6% alcohol beer, across the Mississippi, east of the Mississippi, to distribute it down in the Florida area. That was like the premise of the movie. Wow, crickets again.
No, I'm Googling. I'm actually Googling. It was Coors. You're right.
Wow. Bullshit. Anyway.
I was.
If I'm wrong, and I believe Coors was about 6.2% alcohol. Coors, regular, standard Coors. What? Who's snoring? Somebody sleeping?
I was.
Okay.
Yeah. I nodded off.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Unless they're asleep.
Now I'm going to have to look up on my phone. Beer? I'm going to have to look up my my beer app. And see what Coors, regular Coors is. Because I believe it's... Yeah, don't fall asleep. Rose, stay. What? Don't stay with me, Rose. Come on. Don't close your eyes. Stay with us.
All right. Well, you know what? We actually do have like a buttload of like shout outs we got to do. So we should probably move this along.
Okay. What?
Buttload.
Shout out.
Buttload. So what is next? Who's next?
I don't know.
I went Smokey and the Bandit, so right. I think Rose, you're next.
Okay, so
is this number three?
This is my last and final chapter of movies that I love.
Welcome Bert, to number three.
Number three, Bert.
Number three.
Who does? So, three
this is actually a suggestion from someone. It was on cable, I believe. And they said you should watch this movie called Sharky's Machine.
Oh, yeah.
Burt Reynolds in it. Mm-hmm. And it's not what you think. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, what do I think it is? Well, you know, he's always like the wisecracking guy that's funny and all of this stuff. He plays a vice cop.
I was going to say, it's a cop movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Tom Sharkey, who's Burt Reynolds, is a narcotics cop in Atlanta, Georgia, who's been demoted to vice after a botched bust. In the depths of his lowly division, while investigating the high-dollar prostitution ring, Sharkey stumbles upon a mob murder with government ties and responds by assembling his downtrodden fellow investigators, Sharkey's Machine, in parentheses, to find the leaders and bring them to justice before they kill off all of his partners and witnesses, including Sharkey himself. So you've got Burt Reynolds. You've got Rachel Ward as Domino. She's the high-class call girl, I guess, that he has a relationship with. Vittorio Gassman, Brian Keith again, plays Papa. Charles Durney is Frisco. Earl Holloman is Hotchkins. Bernie Casey again as Arch. Henry Silva, Richard Libertini, Daryl Hickman. And it's just, you know, one recognizable name after another. Uh-huh. And, I can't tell you how many times I actually watched it. I had to watch it a second time, I think, because a lot of the underlying dialogue or scenarios kind of eluded me the first time. But it's riveting. You really just are staring at the TV the whole time going, wow, seriously?
Oh, Bernie Casey's in this one too.
Yeah. But it was just really that edge of your seat kind of a thing, you know, and it makes you want to watch it more than once. And I think I did. Probably watched it like three or four times. I haven't seen it in a while because it's got some elements of violence and sexual promiscuity.
But it's about vice cops, so.
Yeah, yeah. So some of the scenes are a bit intense. I mean, this is 1981 we're talking. You know, we're just fresh out of the 70s, and people are all like, oh, my God, I saw somebody's boob or something. You know, like 900 people now want to go see the movie. So tell somebody that now, they're like, eh. Were they real? Yeah. People just don't care. Yeah, what we've sunk to as a society. But yeah, so honestly, I would recommend it. I would watch it again. I would pay $2 to see it.
Really?
Only because I remember that it was pretty awesome.
See, now, I would pay like a couple bucks to see either Hooper or Cannonball Run.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's got, you know, it's got a lot of action. It's got comedy. You know, I mean, this has some comedy, but it's...
And it's got Bert's mustache.
Yeah, well, you know, Bert's mustache.
Him and Tom Cruise, right? I mean,
Tom Selleck.
Cruise, sorry, Tom Selleck. Wow.
I think I've ever seen Tom Cruise in a mustache.
That'd be funny. Actually, I think he was with that 80s movie. What was it? Rock of Ages. Had a mustache. did I just hurt? Did you just vomit? Are you okay?
Loud? Are you okay?
Did Dave just fall vomit? Off or
yeah, I did. Got kind of bobbing in my mouth there.
Wow.
We don't bring up Tom Cruise in Rock of Ages. That's just wrong. It's wrong.
You know,
first off, the guy
sucks. He sounded really good. I heard he sounded. He actually took
that Tom movie. Cruise sucks. I mean, did I say that out loud? I didn't mean to.
Actually, it was in the top five worst Tom Cruise movies ever.
Yeah,
I can't believe somebody actually tried to get me to watch that.
It don't just ever for his watch singing it.
Alone. Really?
No, don't watch
it. I've seen him singing. I don't like it. I don't care how many voice lessons he takes.
But if we're talking about a good, if we're talking about a mustache on Tom, Born on the 4th of July, he did that well.
There we go. Born on the 4th of July when he gets all strung out and long hair.
Right.
Mustachios. You lost that love and mustachio. Feeling.
Ooh.
Whoa, that love.
I'm going to mute Scott in a minute. I'm going to totally mute him.
Hey, guess
you
what?
You got the ability to do it.
Guess who's doing the editing, my friend?
Whoa. We lost Scott. We lost Scott. I don't know how. Hashtag replace Scott. been a while since we did that.
Yeah, you know.
So if you're interested in being a podcaster, contact me at bonsairetroclub.com. Replace Scott. Okay.
I forgot how much fun this was, you guys.
You know what? I don't have a third pick.
You know,
because we already covered Stroke Race.
I really don't either.
Yeah, we covered like the big ones, which
except
is what
for,
I want.
You know, maybe the walk on that he did on Six Pack, the one by Kenny Rogers, but.
Now, I saw that on his credits, but I don't remember the walk in.
I don't either, and I love that movie. That's a great movie. I have it on my iPad, actually, like saved on my iPad.
Rocky Top. You home sweet home.
Michael Anthony Hall, Diane Lane. Yeah. It's a great cast. Anyway, I'm gonna have to watch it and see where he actually like walks across the screen. Just to see when it is.
Alright, so I should probably get to the portion here where we can get some of our shout outs going.
Oh yeah.
Shout outs. You might want to do that.
Sorry, it's getting late, isn't it?
It is.
Yes, it is.
I'm usually the one that says that, too.
I know.
Yeah.
So,
probably 20 out of 10.
We did this thing on Twitter, and I asked for everybody's favorite movie or memory. We got shout-outs there, and then Jill retweeted it, and so there are shout-outs on that, too. So let me get where I needed to go.
Good old Jill.
I didn't know you were doing this part. We haven't done this. We haven't done this in a while.
We haven't done shout-outs in a while.
No.
So Jill actually did respond, and she's at Real Ouija Midget Reviews. So please go check her out. She says her fave memory is Cannonball Run, and more lately, Archer. Loved his Wii cameo in Silent Movie too. So did you guys watch Archer or Silent Movie?
I remember Silent Movie, but I don't remember him being in it. So I'll have to go. That's something I would actually. Silent Movie, Mel Brooks, funny movie. I would be willing to revisit it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Next up, If Memory Serves podcast says, we grew up with Smokey and the Bandit, Cannonball Run, Stroker Ace, and more. Much of it probably on VHS after being recorded from bootlegged HBO. Burt was a bit of everything. Hero, action star, romantic interest, and all-around goofball. Yep. Plus, his bloopers are legend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Completely agree with everything there. Bootlegged on HBO. We don't condone that. If memory serves, podcast. We don't condone any kind of bootlegging at all. So please don't do that.
Okay.
Oops.
Yep.
I've never done anything like that.
We don't neither do anything illegal on BonsaiRetroClub.com. Mm. Thank you. 80s Grooves, at 80s Grooves. Smokey and the Bandit was definitely my favorite. I watched it over and over again. Loved Sally Field, Jackie Gleason, and that Trans Am. And Bert was just the epitome of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Completely agree. And then while I go to the other thread, you guys talk amongst yourselves.
Rhubarb, 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 rhubarb.
Rhubarb.
Need more than that. Yeah. Come on.
Well, that's what you say when you want people to think you're talking about something and your hushed, muffled voices.
What? Really?
You didn't know that?
No.
Huh. Oh, that's the Hollywood.
That's new for me. Rhubarb.
I always thought it was Abba Zabba.
Well, it could be that, too. Can you do Abba Zabba and rhubarb?
So, like, when me and my buddy Jim, this is back in the day, we'd go to the movie theater, and we'd be waiting for the movie to start. And, you know, this is before they had all the, like, not the previews, but all the commercials before the previews that were playing.
Yeah, I know.
This is when the theater was actually silent for, you know, minutes on end before the previews actually started. We would notice that it sounded like everybody was going, and it would go up and down, you know, the volume. Sorry. Attention. Tangent alert. Tangent alert. Abzaba. And I love that candy. Rhubarb. Abzaba rhubarb.
All right. Thank you for stalling. I appreciate that. I'm where I need to be.
Are you good?
I'm good. Right. Lambda, lambda, lambda. I don't know where that came from.
The Trilams.
Yep.
Yeah. Actually, it was funny.
Rhubarb.
I had somebody reference Lamar yesterday.
Oh, my God.
The limp-wristed, limp-wristed throwing style of Lamar Luttrell.
Oh, my goodness.
It's from Revenge of the Nerds. I'm sorry. It was just referenced yesterday, and it was like, it threw me off. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. What the fuck is a Robster Crawl? Anyway. Robster Crawl. So back to Burt Reynolds. Shout outs.
Okay.
So we're at Silver Screenings at 92 Screenings. It says, it's been years, but I can never resist Smokey and the Bandit. Have to agree with that. Barry P. at Barry _ Cinematic says, I second that. Fond childhood memories. And then we're at Steve Q. at Amy_Surplice says, I think Burt was best, and I liked him best when he played himself, as he did in The Player, Silent Movie, Archer, Sybil, Larry Sanders Show, and Insanity Florida. Also, his X-Files episode. Now, this one surprised me. I had no idea he was in X-Files.
Did you know he was in Gilmore Girls?
Gilmore Girls? Wow. No, I remember that.
Oh, not Gilmore Girls. I'm sorry. Golden Girls.
Oh, I was about to say.
I think I saw him in that. Yeah.
Not Gilmore. Totally different.
Let's say Gilmore Girls.
My so, memory. X-Files? Did you guys know he was in X-Files?
I don't remember that one.
I watched every episode of The X-Files, well, the previous one, the older version.
Yeah, I wonder if that was the Doggett years. You remember the guy, yeah, the guy that replaced Mulder, Doggett?
Oh, yeah, Robert
something. Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, it was Mulder.
He was in
Come
Terminator.
On. Yeah.
He was in Terminator 2,
I think. Yeah. I just saw that yesterday. I was watching a thing on YouTube, Watch Mojo, and they talked about... Sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say they were talking about actors that replaced other actors in TV shows.
You guys are way too fucking nice to each other. You've got to, like, say, you know, dude, I'm talking. Don't
Shut
talk.
The fuck up.
Exactly. Own it.
It's like Samuel Jackson, go the fuck to sleep.
Yeah, the bourbon's talking. All right.
Yeah, no,
so,
have you ever heard that?
No.
Oh, you got to look that up. Samuel Jackson reads a... Like a bedtime story says, go the fuck to sleep. It's fucking, it's hysterical, man.
I've seen it. It is. It's great.
It's hysterical.
So is that after the Bob Ross one I gotta look up?
Yeah, you have two. Now, are you gonna do your homework?
I've actually got a tab open for the Bob Ross one.
All right.
So, okay, so.
You've left me hanging on your homework a couple times. I've given you homework before, and you never came back with any kind.
Samuel Jackson, and what is it?
Go the fuck to sleep.
Go the fuck to sleep. Well, that's what it says. All right.
Yeah, it'll finish it for you.
All right, I got it. All right, so let's go on with the shout-outs here. Christina at HQ of K says, your name and all the ones... I like, so I'll add recently discovered Sharky's Machine and The Man Who Loved Cat Dancing.
Mm-hmm.
The Man Who Loved Cat Dancing, what's that about?
It's a name. That's someone's name. Cat Dancing is someone's name.
Okay.
Not a cat dancing.
So that's not like the name of a movie?
That one threw me, too.
The Man Who Loved Cat Dancing is the name of the movie, yes. But Cat Dancing is someone's name. Do you see what I'm going with that?
Cat.
I do.
Yeah. Okay, great.
The Man Who Loved
Cat.
Cat.
Dancing.
Miss Cat yes. Dancing.
Miss.
Or Mrs. Ms. Whatever.
Yeah.
So what's that movie about?
I don't know.
Come on, Rose. I was depending on you to know that.
No. I probably saw it, but I don't remember.
How many more shout-outs you got?
Three.
Okay. I got one more movie to throw out there for you. So go on.
So What the Kragus Saw at the Kragus says it's a tie for me between Cannonball Run 1 and 2 and Smokey and the Bandit 1 and 2. So I think this guy's smoking weed if he threw on 2 on both of those.
Yeah, Cannonball Run 2 was pretty... tough one.
I'll go with one, not necessarily two on those choices.
That's a good one. That's almost as good as mine. Meh.
All right. Jenny, which is at 80s girl 216.
Okay.
She says, my parents were big fans, so I grew up watching everything he was in, but I'd have to say Cannonball Run and Cannonball Run 2 were my favorites. The biggest problem I have with her tweet is says, my parents were big fans. So, Jenny, what the hell? You know, get on board, become a Burt fan, please. Yeah, I'm calling people out now on their tweets.
Yeah. All right.
You have fun with that one.
Angry Dave. Rebecca Denniston at Taking Up Room says, not sure I have a favorite, but I always liked when he would narrate documentaries.
You know, there's that's a great Twitter name. Taking Up Room. At just Taking Up Room. That's great.
Yeah, there's one he did about Anne Frank. That's awesome. So, so what's up, Taking Up Room? What does that mean?
I don't know. It's just funny. I'm not important. I'm just taking up room.
Never thought about that.
That's just a great Twitter name.
It is.
It's funny stuff. So shout out for having a great Twitter name.
Yep. And then Katrina. It's Katrina Nini. Just posted a pic of The Longest Yard, which we didn't talk about.
Oh yeah. Which
and
really,
I saw earlier trivia that I was, you know, that I saw earlier was that Burt was a big fan, as I guess a lot of actors, of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So what is it about the Steelers that everybody like gravitates towards?
Well,
I'm not a football guy, so I don't know.
So, going back into the 70s, you look back at the Steelers and the Cowboys rivalry. That was the big thing. That is Steelers Cowboys. And the Steelers actually have, I think, either the second or third largest fan base in the country. And the first largest fan base is the Packers. Because they won the first Super Bowl, a lot of people just kind of jumped on that bandwagon. I just got a message from Rose. She has to go.
Rose is saying she's got balls.
It's time. All right. So we won't have a little football lesson tonight. That's okay. I'm pissed off at the NFL anyway, so.
Okay, we're not going to get into the
political thing. Yeah. And the Bears won tonight, so that's good. Oh, interception. Nice. Hello.
All right, so Rose, parting thoughts on Bert.
Bye-bye.
Bert Reynolds, total American icon, amazing actor, human being, just seems like who he really was. You know, just an all-around nice guy, just really loved life, and I believe he just loved what he did. I think he loved being himself. I think he knew, you know, he was very self-aware. He could make fun of himself. And the older he got, the better he got. And I just was really lucky, I think, to be a fan, because he kind of went either way. You either loved him or you didn't. So, and I liked it. Appreciating him, you know, and his ability as an actor. And I think he sang a little bit too, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think he did it often, but there were times when he did. So, just great guy, and he's going to be missed a lot.
So, not to end it on a somber note, but I'm curious. You're our voice of womanhood.
Mm-hmm.
Bert did this thing with Cosmo where he like did this spread, if you will.
Wow. Nice word, Dave.
Did you like run out and get that?
Wow.
Be honest. Open. No, we're open. You're among friends.
Get it? No. Okay, I may have been privy to someone else's copy, but it was totally worth it.
Wow.
It was worth it.
That
okay.
is so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a definite ladies' man. And it just, you know, part and parcel of who he was. So, yeah.
So let it be known, kids, that Dave asks the hard questions.
Yeah, he does.
The hard questions.
I just can't. I can't. Oh, God. You're killing me, Dave. Anyway. Oh, so funny. You guys are just cracking me up.
Can I go now?
Yeah, you're released.
I didn't get to talk about. I didn't even get to talk about my last movie. The last movie that I want to talk about.
We can continue, Scott. She's got to go.
It's Paternity. Beverly D'Angelo. And
Rose, you have a good night.
Okay.
You
bye, too. Rose.
Okay.
Oh, love you.
We love you.
Sweet
she
dreams.
Had to bolt, man. She had to let her go.
What is she in a hurry for? I mean, it's.
She hasn't eaten all night, dude.
She didn't have a dinner?
Yeah, it's dinner time.
5:30.
Where are we at? We're 9:30 my time, so it's her time, what? 6:30?
I'm 50. I eat like 4 o'clock, so.
All right, so what are you saying? She's got to be just, on the early plan?
I'm kidding, yes.
Yeah. All right, so please, you were talking about something.
You know, I was just joking. There was a movie that always stuck out in my mind as something that I remembered from Burt Reynolds, and that was called Paternity. And it's really a bad premise. It's a terrible premise for a movie. It's where Burt Reynolds wants to have a child. And
what
he
year
was
that?
Huh? This was
what year
like, it's gotta be 84 maybe. 83.
Right.
Let me see.
Looking.
Look it up.
Keep going though. Okay. 81.
81. Okay. So he wants to have a child. So he hires somebody to have his child. And it ends up being it's Beverly D'Angelo from the Christmas or from the Vacation series. You know, that's where we know her best.
Sure.
And they fall in love, and it's a romantic comedy, but it's really kind of twisted. Like, I just want to have a child, so I'm going to hire somebody to be the surrogate mom. Of course, they end up together at the end, but.
Of course.
It was just always one of those movies that stuck out in my head as a Burt Reynolds movie from the 80s. Nothing like his other movies. That was, you know, the car driving, car chase, and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking at the graphic for it, and it says he wants you to have his baby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He, like, puts an ad out in the newspaper, which, you know, at the time was like Craigslist. would be like today's version of Craigslist or something. I need you to have my baby. Having my baby.
Now, I don't remember the name of it, but I remember there's some movie where he, like, wanted to kill himself.
It's called The End.
The End?
Mm-hmm.
What year was that?
1978. Yes, and Dom DeLuise again. And
another...
Sally Field. Sally Field and Dom DeLuise both in it.
Okay. I don't know why I remember that.
And looks like Robbie Benson, too. Looks like. Could be wrong. Robbie Benson in it. Carl
Reiner.
Oh,
Christy McNichol. That's why I remember that.
Ah.
Okay. Yeah. And you're right, Robbie Benson. Father Dave Benson.
Yep. He's a priest in that one, apparently. So, yeah, that was...
What was Christy? Oh, she must have been, like, his daughter or
daughter.
Something.
I think it was his daughter, yeah.
Yeah, Julie Lawson, and his character was Wendell Lawson.
Yeah. That's kind of what I remember it being. It's been a long time. So it might have been early 80s when I saw this movie.
Actually, I have one more shout out. It was on Facebook.
Okay.
And Wendy Hadaway Richardson says, in 1989, our cousin went to take us to his house to meet him, but he wasn't home. He does have a beautiful property. And then I asked, how did your cousin know him? And they went to school together. They were best friends.
Cool.
So I thought that was kind of cool. But that's it for shout-outs.
All right. Well, now that we lost Rose, I guess we should wrap everything else up too, huh?
Be that way. It is, what, 9:42 my time, so yeah, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, it's getting close to 11 here.
Well, you said you didn't have to go to work. Or you do have to go to work.
I didn't say I didn't have to go to work. It's kind of in limbo at this point. It's really frustrating, actually.
I get that whole limbo thing, by the way.
You get it?
All right. Yep. So I've got Bob Ross video game that I've got to check out, and Samuel Jackson, Go the F to Sleep.
Go the fuck to sleep, yeah.
Yep. All right, so I have those tabs open. I will do that after we podcast.
They're very short. You'll enjoy them.
All right, so that is Bonsai Retro Club. And as we do at the end of these things, we like to remind people to go to our website, and that's bonsairetroclub.com. That's B-A-N-Z-A-I. And on that, you'll see the links to our various social media endeavors, being Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram. So I've gotten better with Instagram, not so much with Facebook, even though I did post a lot about our 1979 podcast as far as like stuff that happened in 1979, but not a lot of people went out and followed us on Facebook. So if you are
one of our... I shared the hell out of that too.
Yeah, if you're a dedicated listener, I need you to go back out to Facebook and please follow us on Bonsai Retro Club. So we do put stuff out there. I'll try to do a lot more Burt Reynolds stuff as we post this episode. So please go out there and follow us and share that content. The other thing we like to remind people to do is on our website, we have our Patreon. Scott, do you have anything to talk about with that?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's a way to support the show. It's a way financially to help us pay for the website and pay for the storage and just all the things that we do to promote the show. And if you like it, it's a great way to show that you're really enjoying it and showing support for us. So if you go to the website, you know, bonsairetroclub.com, and you can scroll down to the bottom of the page, like Dave said, and there we are, Patreon. Click on that. And you know, as we're building more subscribers, we're going to be releasing kind of behind-the-scenes stuff that, you know, conversations that we have that are not always as centric to 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, just kind of things that you, if you want to get to know us a little bit better, and some things that we just don't, it's not always on topic. Like if we're doing an 80s show, we might throw in some 70s stuff that we just happen to be talking about randomly, before the 80s show. So stuff like that, you know, it's just kind of fun. So it's just another way to, enjoy a little bit more of the retro feel, the whole thing. So
yeah, and honestly, for the listener, there's probably a good 30 to 40 minutes of content even before we start talking about our main topic that you may never get to hear.
Oh yeah, we had 40 minutes before we started the topic tonight. Seriously.
So
we didn't even start talking about Bert until 40 minutes in.
Yeah, so there's a lot of great stuff that we share with each other, and you know, it's obvious that Scott, Rose, and I just love to talk to each other. You know, we're good friends, and you'll get to hear that. You know, and so I would please, you know, encourage you to go, you know, donate to the Patreon, and then we can share that content with you. The other thing that we have going on is reviews. So if you do have one of those iPhone devices, go out to your Apple feed and subscribe to us and put a review on our feed. So that's at BonsaiRetroClub.com. Hopefully say some nice things about us, but even if you want to say negative things, that's still feedback and I'll take it. So we would encourage you to do that. If you get a chance, shoot us an email at McFly@BonsaiRetroClub.com, and that way it'll get to all three of us, and you know, we'll address that commentary on a future show. So outside of that, that is our regular ending spiel. We encourage you to be excellent to each other and have a good whatever, because we have no idea when you're going to listen to this. Bye.
Take care, everybody.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!